What does the word comfort bring to your mind? When you think about comfort, do you think about a nice cozy bed and a soft pillow? Do you think about sitting down under a shade tree on a hot summer afternoon with a glass of lemonade? Do you think about lying in a hammock or stretching out in a lounge chair in the den? Those might be places of comfort, but that is not really the idea of comfort in this passage on comfort. Our English word for comfort is actually derived from the Latin. In Latin, com, C-O-M, means with, and fort is short for fortus, meaning strength. The English word comfort literally means with strength. The Greek word that is translated comfort here in 2 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7 is parakaleo. Para means alongside, and kaleo means to call. You put those two together, and what it literally means is to call alongside. Comfort is to have someone to come alongside and stand with you and give you strength in a time of trouble or crisis. It's sort of like the story that I heard about Natalie Gilbert. Before the third playoff game against the Dallas Mavericks at the Rose Garden on April the 25th, 2003, the national anthem singer needed a little help. Natalie Gilbert was a 13-year-old eighth grader from Lake Oswego, Oregon, who won the chance to sing the anthem during the first playoff home game through the Toyota, get the feeling of a star promotion with the Blazers. Gilbert performed in front of judges and the Rose Garden crowd on three occasions, making it to the finals for the contest. Having won the contest, Gilbert took center court to sing in front of the crowd. Even though she had the flu and had spent the whole day in bed, she was determined to give it her best. Gilbert, who performed the song perfectly in the locker room before the game, as well as at other times that she sung for the team, forgot the words to the anthem. Coach Maurice Cheeks saw Gilbert struggling and joined her at center court to help her sing. And the crowd soon joined in as well to help the struggling singer sing the national anthem. "He totally saved me. I couldn't even remember the words. I tried to start over again, but the words just wouldn't come," said Gilbert. "I was walking off afterward and he said to me, 'Don't worry, kid, everyone has a bad game once in a while.' I wish I could help some of my players like that," said Cheeks. Who doesn't need comfort like that at one time or another? How can I find comfort like that when I need it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 7 is a passage on comfort. So let's see what it says about comfort. How can I find comfort? First of all, the passage tells us that God is the source of all comfort. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Now, just to be clear, this is not just any old God. This is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God of the Old Testament, the God of Adam and Eve, the God of Noah, the God of Enoch, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of King David, and the God of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and all the prophets. This is the God who spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There's a marvelous incident in our Lord's life that is told in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's found in the other Gospels as well. It's the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And you know it. When the evening came, after a long day of hard work, the Lord Jesus said to the apostles, "Let's go over to the other side." And leaving the multitudes, they took Him along with them just as He was. Mark says, in the boat and other boats. It was a little flotilla of vessels sailing across the Sea of Galilee. He had been ministering and they had been helping. And while they were making their way across the Sea of Galilee, there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already beginning to fill up and they were in danger of sinking. And the Lord Jesus was in the stern of that boat asleep on the cushion, and they awakened Him and they said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" And aroused, He stood up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down. It became perfectly calm. The Lord Jesus looked around to them and He said, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" They became very much afraid and they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Think of that. The storm raging. The fisherman whose life was on that little lake, who knew it as no other people knew it. This was a powerful storm. These veteran fishermen were terrified by it. It must have been terrible. And the Lord Jesus was asleep on a pillow. How could He sleep during a storm like that? I'll tell you how. The Lake of Galilee was God's sea. Furthermore, the wind was God's wind. The waves were God's waves. The storm was God's storm. The darkness of the night was God's darkness. Those are all God's things. The winds are His. The storms are His. The darkness is His. The sea is His. He is the master of the winds, of the waves, of the storm, of the darkness. When the wind and waves heard the voice of Jesus, they had to be still because they were hearing the voice of their Master. There's a verse in a hymn that we sing sometimes that says, "The winds and waves still know the voice of Him when He spoke below." And underneath it all are the everlasting arms. You and I, through Jesus Christ, have a God who is the sovereign master over the forces of nature. And He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. Secondly, this passage teaches us that God uses people whom He has comforted to comfort others. Verse 4 says, "Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Paul says, we receive comfort from God. Then we comfort others with the comfort that we receive from God. First of all, how does God comfort us? God comforts us through Jesus Christ. The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is, my only comfort in life and in death is that my whole life, body and soul, belongs to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who by His own precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair could fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. God comforts us through Jesus Christ, and then we comfort others. But how is that done? It is done by sharing the same experiences with others. Dr. George W. Truett was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas for about 50 years. For the whole 20th century, First Baptist Church Dallas only had two pastors. For the first half of the 20th century, it was Dr. George W. Truett. And for the second half of the 20th century, it was Dr. W.A. Criswell. Well, in one of Dr. Truett's sermons, he told about an unbelieving couple whose baby died suddenly. They came to Dr. Truett and they asked him to conduct the funeral, and so he did. He said that later he had the joy of seeing them both trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord. They came to faith in Christ, became genuine believers. Many months later, he said, a young mother lost her baby. And again, Dr. Truett was called to bring her comfort. Dr. Truett said nothing that he shared with her seemed to help very much. And at the funeral service, at the conclusion of the funeral service, the first mother who had lost her child stepped forward, went to the young girl's side, and said, I went through this, and I know what you are going through. God called me through the darkness, and I came to Him. He's comforted me, and He'll comfort you. And Dr. Truett said, the first mother did more for the second mother than he could have done maybe in days or months, for the first young mother had traveled the road of suffering. That's part of what Paul is talking about. The experiences of life are designed to fit us, to help others who are having the same experiences in life as we have had. The experiences in life that we have had are shaping us to help others who experience the same things. God is the source of comfort. God comforts us through Jesus Christ. God uses people that He has comforted to comfort others. Thirdly, God's comfort overflows through Christ and is passed on to others. Verse 5 through 7 says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. God comforts us through Jesus Christ, and then that comfort overflows to others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of a handful of German theologians, along with Martin Niemöller, to stand up to the Nazification of Germany, of the German church, before World War II. He was prominent in writing the famous Barman Declaration, which rejected the Aryan clauses imposed by Nazi ideology. Bonhoeffer went so far as to establish an underground seminary in Finkenwald, Bavaria, which was closed by Gestapo chief Heinrich Himmler. This led to Bonhoeffer's joining the resistance movement and his being imprisoned by the Gestapo in April of 1943. While in prison, Bonhoeffer wrote letters that were compiled into a book called Letters from prison that became a bestseller after the war. Among the letters is a beautiful poem written to his fiancée, Maria von Wiedemeyer, entitled New Year, 1945. Stanza number 3 from that poem goes like this. Should it be ours to drain the cup of grieving, even to the dregs of pain? At thy command we will not falter, thankfully receiving all that is given by thy loving hand. 3 months after writing that poem, just as the war was ending, Bonhoeffer was hung in Flossenbürg prison. 18 years later in America, another bride-to-be was grieving the death of her fiancé and was introduced to Bonhoeffer's poem and found much comfort in Bonhoeffer's poem to his fiancé. Her fiancé, who died from injuries in a sledding accident, was the son of author Joseph Bailey and his wife, Mary Lou. When she mailed Bonhoeffer's poem to her fiancé's parents, they too found comfort in the poem, New Year 1945. As I said, Joe Bailey was an author, and he wrote a book of poems on heaven. 30 years after Bonhoeffer's death, Joe Bailey received a letter from a pastor friend in Massachusetts relating that he had visited a terminally ill woman in a Boston hospital for some period of time and had given her Joe's book of poems. Heaven as comfort for her soul. The pastor said that the dying woman had stayed awake late the previous night to read it and told him of the comfort and help that she had received from it. A few hours later, she died. That woman, the pastor found out, was Maria von Wiedemeyer Weller, Bonhoeffer's fiancée 3 decades earlier. Bonhoeffer's poem for Maria comforted Joe Bailey's son's fiancée, and she sent it to Joe and Mary Lou Bailey, and it comforted them. And then Joe Bailey's poems on heaven comforted Maria von Wiedemeyer Weller before she died. That is the way that God's comfort circulates around among His children. And sometimes it comes full circle, as it did from Dietrich Bonhoeffer to Maria von Wiedemeyer in her grief, to Joseph Bailey Jr.'s grieving fiancé, to Joe and Mary Lou Bailey in their grief, and then back to Bonhoeffer's one-time fiancé as comfort in her dying hours. I pray that the cyclical nature of God's comfort and its overflowing nature will circulate around this congregation and find its way to each one of you. Amen.